Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Coming up on today's show, TGS is in full swing and Nintendo rumors are back in the news. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff every Friday. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by Miss Brittany Brombacher.
Hello!
Somewhere off in Berlin.
Hello!
Oh, thank you. I was hoping I could hear an echo from Berlin, but, you know, I'll take it from Los Angeles.
There will come a day when we stop referencing Steimer on the open of the show, everybody, but that day, unfortunately, is not today.
Oh.
Whether it's your first episode or your 243rd episode, we're glad that you're here. And did you catch that I made a mistake in the episode number at the open of last week's show? Because I did. And now you're going to go back and re-listen to it because you're like, no, I didn't. Wait, I did. Raise your hand if you did. Good job, everybody. High five to you.
You get a sticker.
Yeah. We're excited to be talking to you guys about video games today. We've got some really fun news, so we're going to go ahead and jump into it. But thank you to this month's Patreon producers, Chewy's Godson, Alex Rogopoulos, Ferris Atia, Justin Foshi, Matthew O'Dare, Punctified, and Trevor Starkey. And welcome to our Patreon community, Lisa Bennett and Jake Finney. Brittany, where can people contribute to the show if they don't have any dollar bucks to throw our way?
Dollar bucks. You can leave us a 5-star review, ladies and gentlemen, on your favorite podcast platform. Even though I say that, I think Apple's really the only one that matters, but that's okay. So if you are a listener on the iTunes variety, please leave us a review. It helps us out a whole bunch. You can leave silly words and sentences, and I will read them and sometimes insert them into the top of the show. And it helps people find our show, which means good things, because then we'll be happy hosts, right, Andrea?
That's right, Brittany.
Thanks. That's what
and
I
the
got.
Dollar bucks is a Bluey reference for all the cartoon fans out there.
Bluey? What's a Bluey?
It's a kids show on Disney Plus. It's technically from Australia. It's a kids cartoon starring a really adorable pair of dog sisters.
Are they
and
blue?
Their mom and their dad and their kind of family antics that they get up to.
It's Are they really blue? Cute. It's like Blue's Clues, but for Australians?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. But now that you mention it.
I'm here all night.
All right, everybody. This show is brought to you by Felix Gray and MeUndies, but we'll talk to you more about that later. Brittany, Tokyo Game Show 2021 is underway.
It is, and I feel like it's been so quiet. I feel like no one is talking about this. They're all talking about that Squid Game Show. I don't know. Have you been hearing anything about Tokyo Game Show?
I've seen things from Square Enix and I've seen things from Capcom, but unfortunately because of the timing of those shows in Japan, we weren't able to wait for those news conferences and get them in because of other commitments that we have on Thursday of this week. And that's unfortunate, but I think what we're going to see is a lot of updates for games that have already been announced. Now, that's not to say that there isn't rumors swirling that Capcom, allegedly the biggest air quotes ever, might reveal the true Resident Evil 4 remake. So there's been some whispers. I don't know if you've been following the Resident Evil Twitter account.
Oh, the Resident Evil Twitter right now is just a hot mess, baby girl. It's all over the fucking place. We were also excited for this TGS showcase they're having. They've been teasing it for some time. And then after the announcement of the latest Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, I think is what it's called.
That's the expansion, yeah.
Yeah. Their showcase changed from like Capcom Show or whatever to Capcom Monster Hunter Spotlight. And it looks like now it's just a big old Monster Hunter extravaganza, which is fantastic if that's your thing. thing. I'm very happy for you. I'm silently weeping on the inside, though. But yeah, like Twitter, Resident Evil Twitter right now. So there's all this shit swirling. Obviously, the true Resident Evil 4 remake is a hot rumor that's been going around for a while. But then the other biggest bullshit rumor of them all, Andrea, is it's called Resident Evil 3 Nemesis Edition. And what everyone thinks this is going to be is it's going to be the air quotes here, true version of Resident Evil 3 remake featuring cut places from the remake, like the clock tower, the dead factory, etc. And folks think that Capcom, for the past year and a half, have been working on these locations, and they're going to release this game with all this new content up-res for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. And I'm like, friends, I love you, but there is not a snowball's chance in hell that this is happening. You have about the same chance of this happening as Andrea would survive in Raccoon City. And Andrea, I love you, baby girl. I'm sorry to throw you under the bus, but that was the first thing that came to mind.
It's totally fine. Like, I am the first one to say that I would probably be turned into a, you know, a zombie in the first wave. I would have no chance.
That's okay. Cool. We'll hang out then. You can be my bait. But yeah, so other shit, you know, obviously like Square Enix is going to be there. And like you said, they've talked about what they're going to have there. They're going to have some ActRaiser. They have some their new stuff on there, like Voice of Cards, the Isle Dragon Roar. And what's there's a new one on there. And Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, which is the one I want to hear the most about. And this is like the reimagining of the first Final Fantasy, which looks like it's kind of all over the place. Excited to see that. But even Xbox has something, but again, it's more catered to, I think, that audience in that region, and they're not so much looking to do new debuts or new huge reveals or anything.
But yeah, typically we don't see jaw-dropping news come out of TGS. That's just the way it has been in the past couple of years.
Yeah,
I think we get some, as you mentioned, very region-specific new titles that some fans here in the West are excited about, but as a global moment to talk about video games, TGS just hasn't been that show for a while, quite honestly. Nah. And that's not a bad thing. I think them making it a more regionalized show makes sense for what it is. And the time of year that TGS usually falls, which is in mid to late September, is post-Gamescom, post-PAX West. A lot of the North American video game publishers have already announced what they're going to announce for fall and any other announcements they'll hold. Now, it would be interesting to see if Sony ever made a play to come back to TGS in a big way, because interestingly enough, PlayStation being a Japanese company doesn't really do a lot of new stuff at TGS, which is kind of a head scratcher considering that's where their home base is. But they really march to the beat of their own drum these days.
I was going to say, that's kind of their thing. We are getting a new IP reveal from Sega and Atlus, though. It might not be new IP. Hold on. I don't know that. I just stuck that
A new RPG, though.
A new RPG. Right? Yeah. There's a countdown website right now, and it looks like it's something new. I was kind of hoping it would be a new Yakuza game because I'm selfish, but that's not an Atlus thing. But yeah, like you said, you know, it'll be a good time. It'll be fun. I wish we could talk about it, but I ain't waking up at 4 in the morning to watch this, or 2 in the morning to watch this Xbox stream or whatever.
Well, what if you're just awake anyway?
Because I'm gonna be, you're
baby
right.
Jace is like, hey mom, let's get up.
Let's get up, man. What's that 4-month sleep regression? Let me tell you all about it, ladies and gentlemen. It is bullshit. It's so glorious because Andrea and I are going through it at the same time, so we can just bitch about it. It's lovely.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, God bless you. Go on with your life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will update you guys if anything earth-shattering happens at TGS in next week's episode. But there is interesting news from a Japanese company who always is just vacant from TGS in a weird way again. Brittany, Nintendo is up to some shenanigans again.
Are you excited for another Switch Pro update? This is
yes, I am. Let's go.
I feel like we've been covering this for like years now at this point. I don't even know. All right, so this comes from Bloomberg. So developers are making games for a Nintendo 4K console that doesn't exist. What? All right, so employees at 11 game companies said their teams were in possession of Nintendo's 4K development kit for the Switch. The companies span the globe, ranging from large publishers to small studios, and include at least one that has never made a console game before, and Zynga Inc., according to the employees who are asked not to be identified. The latest model of the best-selling Switch is set to go on sale on October 8th, and that is, of course, the Nintendo Switch OLED It will sport a larger screen, use OLED technology for better color and contrast, and at $350, costs more than its predecessors. But a system capable of handling 4K games isn't expected to be released until late next year at the earliest. Nintendo's responded to a list of questions by saying Bloomberg's reporting is inaccurate and declined to specify which parts of the information it was referring to. Bloomberg began reporting on details of the product more than a year ago, including the bigger OLED display, the fall release, and the higher price. It was also supposed to contain a faster chip from Nvidia Corp that would enable 4K graphics when connected to a television, but the 4K capability didn't come to pass. It's unclear exactly when the design changed. The reason, according to a person familiar with Nintendo's hardware planning, was component shortages, a far-reaching problem born out of the COVID-19 pandemic. By the time Nintendo had showed off the new console in July, the company had already handed out the 4K kits to outside developers and asked them to design software to support the higher resolution. Developers declined to speculate on Nintendo's plan for another console, but said they'd expect to release their 4K Switch games during or after the second half of next year. Andrew, what the fuck is happening?
What's happening is that Nintendo is creating hardware that's capable of 4K because, of course, they are. They're inevitably going to have 4K built into their hardware. Duh. Like, that's just the march of technology that happens. But when it's coming, I doubt is this year. Nintendo has very firmly said, we are not releasing new hardware in 2021. Like, they've said that multiple times. And I feel like all of these rumors that we've seen about the next Switch don't come to fruition, right? But is another Switch in development? Of course it is. We just talked last week about how it sold more than 60 million units. So they're definitely working on something, and they will let us know when they're ready to talk about it. I quite honestly don't think that it matters as much as some of the pundits do, because clearly the Switch as is selling just fine. And the chip shortage that's mentioned here has affected not only game console makers, but electronics makers of all kinds. And that's a very real thing that's affecting their manufacturing pipeline. So why on earth would they want to jeopardize a worldwide launch when they can delay until they're ready?
Yeah, and in the Bloomberg article as well, I didn't include it in the story. There's one specific class of components that they're needing, and they're fully booked until 2025. Like, people can't get them until then. And, I mean, of course, this is if you're going to believe this whole article. So, yeah, like you said, like, shit's fucked right now, ladies and gentlemen, in more ways than one. And when it comes to the 4K unit, it's interesting because, like you said, like, it's not something that we actively need. Because, Oh, you know, I'm gonna stick by that. We don't need it. We're happy and content with our Switch, and obviously Nintendo is happy and content with it also. And we have this Switch OLED version coming out, which I'm incredibly excited about. Did you get one?
I have not yet. No, because my darling husband brought back the special Disney Zum edition when he was in Japan, the pink and purple Switch with the little Disney icons on it. Do you remember the rage about
do.
That? Everyone was very
yeah.
excited about it, but it was Japan only. And so I've been using that and haven't bothered upgrading. But, you know, if a specialty Switch comes around that catches my eye, I might just spend the money to get the cute one because that's what
LED.
We do.
I know that is what we do. And that's what I'm saying. I was reading some hands-on previews of the Switch OLED version, OLED, sorry, that's how the cool kids say it, because the previews are out for it, and the general consensus is it's $350, it's $50 more than the base model, you have a nicer screen, the sound is better, same processor as before, now the dock has the LAN input. But I think if you're someone who's into that sort of thing, like me, you're just into the biggest and shiniest new model, yeah, like, it's exciting, but I could definitely live without this. And it sounds like Nintendo's really in no rush to do this 4K thing. So it is what it is. And I'm excited for it. I think I got the white one. I don't know. I pre-ordered it so long ago. I don't even remember anymore. Which is I kind of regret doing because I feel like it's going to get fingerprints and everything everywhere. But that's fine. Andrea, are you ready to move on? Because
I'm sorry if I looked distracted. It sounds like either my baby is screaming or there's a hawk right outside the studio, like cacawing,
and I'm just like, cacaw.
Like, what is that noise? What's happening?
I'm just imagining a hawk going around going cacaw, cacaw. I am circling, trying to eat you, because hawks shouldn't be
screeching. We get a lot of hawks in this part of the city that I live in, because I live in the foothills, and further up is, you know, a little patch of nature, which means we also get like foxes and coyotes in our backyard, which is not great. But I was just hearing it. I was just like, what's happening? No, it's funny. Side story, everybody.
Here we go. Neighbor, sit down.
My neighbor has a chicken coop, which is a thing that people are doing because it's like popular, I guess, now to like have chickens in urban environments. Why? I don't know. And they decided to get a rooster. You may have seen me tweet about the fact that I'm annoyed at said rooster. And they came to our house the other week and they were like, so our rooster got out of the pen because they let them free roam for a little bit during the day. And they're like, we saw feathers on your side of the fence. Could we check to see if our rooster's in your yard? And I was like, if you saw feathers, that bitch got ate. I told them, I was like, there are coyotes in our yard like every week.
Oh, yeah.
If you let your chickens free roam, they're goners.
This is now a search and rescue mission, but I don't think there's going to be any rescue in for that poor rooster.
So maybe that's what's happening. Maybe a hawk is just going after its own kind. It's like, I'm so hungry, I'm going to go eat this chicken.
Dude, hawks are assholes. I'm just going to call it. I have the super peaceful, like, serene bird feeder that I have right outside my window where I'm feeding my kid. I like to look out there and, like, gaze upon the little, like, chickadees and robins and all the cute little, like, goldfinches. A fucking hawk one day swooped down from, like, the fucking heavens and just snatched up one of my robins. And all I saw was this poof of feathers. It was the most fucked up thing ever because I was trying to enjoy this peaceful moment feeding my kid. And then all of a sudden I hear this, like, bam, poof of feathers everywhere because they slammed into the window. Anyway, this is now the What's Good Hawks podcast. Thank you for subscribing. But Andrew, I have to tell you, this next story is bananas.
Yes, I love it.
I did it, friends. I did it. I said I was going to do it on Twitter and I did it. Thank you. I've been waiting all week for this moment. I was worried I was going to forget and fuck it up, but I got it in.
You nailed it.
Do you want me to read it?
Obviously.
Okay, fine, I will. Super Nintendo World Donkey Kong expansion will make the theme park 70% bigger. Oh, girl, I got something for you that'll make your theme park 70% bigger. Hey-o!
We're 12, in case you forgot.
We are. Okay, Super Nintendo World is officially adding a Donkey Kong expansion Nintendo has announced following months of speculation. But now we have a bunch of new details straight from Nintendo, including the planned 2024 launch. Quote, I am very happy to be able to make the world of Donkey Kong a reality following the world of Mario, said Nintendo Shigeru Miyamoto in a statement. I am looking forward to creating a thrilling Donkey Kong experience with the amazing team at Universal. It will take some time until it is completed, but it will be a unique area for not only people who are familiar with Donkey Kong games, but for all guests. Nintendo says Donkey Kong Theme Park, which will expand Universal Studios Japan's Super Nintendo World by 70%, will include its own themed roller coaster, merchandise, food, and interactive experiences. As you might expect, the space will resemble a lush jungle environment with Donkey Kong and Co. appearing throughout. This place better have the best chocolate-dipped bananas, or I'll be so disappointed.
Oh, yes. I love it. Yeah, they better. How can you not have a bunch of kinds of banana snacks? Banana chips, banana daiquiris.
Bananas with sprinkles on it. I don't know.
Fried plantains. Good. Let's go. Bring it all.
Let's go. I just want to go here so bad. I just want to go to Super Nintendo World so bad. But it ain't happening.
I just want to go anywhere, but Super Nintendo yeah. World sounds like a really fun place to go if we're going to go somewhere.
And I know it's coming to Orlando, but not until like 2025 because of delays and shit. By that time, I'm going to be 90 years old. Probably not even going to like video games anymore.
Like reverse Benjamin Button? What's happening?
I got that reference. I usually don't get movie references, but I got that one. but no, it looks really cute. There's a few, I don't know if it was years ago or maybe or whatever, there was some leaked models of Super Nintendo World. And alongside that was a leaked model of the Donkey Kong World as well. And so the leaked models for the Super Nintendo World accurately represent what the current park looks like. So, you know, there's a chance that this Donkey Kong model is accurate. it looks really cool. It looks like something straight out of Indiana Jones. You know, you have the fallen, like, funky plane. You have a golden temple with a big monkey on it and the huge waterfall, and it turns into a river, and there's, like, a lake and little, like, huts and tiki things. I don't know. It looks really fun. And
this sounds amazing.
I know.
I'm trying to find some photos of it.
I'll see if I can. I found it somewhere, and then maybe it was on the Games Radar article that I will pull up. But yeah, I mean, God, I just, like you said, I would go anywhere right now. Hell, I would fucking, I don't know, I don't go anywhere. But this would be amazing, and I can practice my Japanese, Andrea, and I can, like, be a little. I mean, you've been there, actually. I've never been there, so I guess you would be the tour guide. But
yeah, I could show you like three spots.
That's
that
cool.
I went to. Tokyo is massive. I didn't have nearly enough time there to fully explore that wonderful, amazing city. I would love to go back. And I think that, you know, one day we could do a special What's Good Games from Tokyo.
Dude, yes. I would love that. Poor Simer. That was always her, like, her ultimate goal, remember?
I have a feeling she'll come out of retirement if we do a show in Tokyo. Yeah. Just a hunch.
Just a hunch.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other quick hit news items that happened over the last week. So even though I'd mentioned that there could be rumors about Resident Evil 4 remake proper happening at TGS, which is, you know, again, just rumors, the actual Resident Evil 4 port for virtual reality has a release date of October 21st, 2021. And of course, we saw this at the Resident Evil Showcase, and then we've gotten updates since then. It looked really cool. And based off what we've seen for Resident Evil 7 in VR, I'm confident that this is going to be a good iteration. Brittany, are you planning to play?
I want to, but it's an Oculus Quest 2 exclusive. I do not have an Oculus Quest 2. And there's that kind of thing of, like, you have to have the Facebook account to play. But maybe I create, like, a burner account. Who could say? But previews for this have come out, and they're really positive. Really good. So I really want it. I really, really want it.
Well, you know, we've got an Oculus Quest 2 down here in the What's Good Games studio.
Well, that sounds like...
Guess we're going to have to plan a trip.
I was going to say, or you could play it, and I could watch you and be incredibly entertained.
Oh, why? Why would we do that, though?
Why wouldn't we?
I mean, for content, for hashtag content. That's why we would do it, everybody.
Exactly.
Marvel's Avengers came to Xbox Game Pass on September 30th, if you missed it. So if you've been waiting to check out Marvel's Avengers because you were like, meh, I don't know if I want to spend my money on this. If you have Xbox Game Pass, now you don't have to spend a dime. So you guys can check that out. It looks like we have a question here from DK2112 who says, is Avengers coming to Game Pass a sign that it's struggling with player retention, or do you think it's more of an Xbox desire to increase subscribers for Game Pass? I feel the first, but would love to know your thoughts. Oh, it's definitely because they didn't hit their numbers, would be my guess. And Marvel is like, yo, we didn't hit our numbers, and this is an Avengers game. What are we going to do to increase our numbers? Boom, Xbox Game Pass. I doubt someone would buy Xbox Game Pass just to play Avengers, but clearly there's a lot of value in Xbox Game Pass outside of just this one game. And I think that it being in Game Pass is great. The more multiplayer games like this that are from third party, I think really helps make that value proposition an easy one, especially with Halo on the horizon. So if they can get you into Game Pass now, you know, maybe you'll keep it for the end of the year. Who knows?
I feel like Game Pass is the dude in the trench coat who's like opening his trench coat slowly. And he's like, hey, I got a deal for you. And everyone's like, all right, let's go. Xbox Game Pass is Mr. Steal Your Girl. I'm convinced. Just snapping up every IP around here. Kind of.
I mean, Microsoft has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Spoilers. There's a lot of money to go around. It was interesting. I saw this Twitter thread with some people who were clearly not in the know about how these video game deals are done. That was like, I don't understand why there's this mentality of gamers always wanting games for free. Developers need to get paid for their art. And I was like, do you think that games in Game Pass aren't paid for by somebody? That Microsoft is just getting freebies from all these developers?
So now the person in the trench coat is like, they open their trench coat and there's a very, very long knife in there. And they're like, yo, motherfuckers, put your fucking games on my platform or I'm going to shank your ass. That's how it goes. Goddamn.
I was like, no, dog. No. Microsoft pays for all of that. Like, those developers are getting paid. Don't worry about them. They'll be okay. They wouldn't be in Game Pass if they weren't making money off of it.
Yeah. It's going to be okay. So. That was a really nice way of saying two stupid people were having a conversation on Twitter. Good job. Appreciate you growing.
It sadly was more than just two people.
Oh, well, not surprising.
Amazon has a brand new MMO out. You guys may have heard of it. It's called New World, and it's apparently super popular. It is now the fifth highest all-time concurrent record holder on Steam. Over 500,000 concurrent users. Currently, as of recording the show, the only game that is more popular on Steam is Steam's own, I should say Valve's own, Counter-Strike Go.
Oh.
I think it's really interesting how Amazon's game finally took off. They've really struggled with their publishing and video game development branch. They haven't really had a hit. Mm-mm. And it's interesting knowing that Amazon Television and Movie Studios has done pretty well, had a lot of great successes with their other properties and entertainment, but really struggled in the game-making space because it's almost like making video games is difficult, everybody. But now it seems like they've struck some gold. Have you seen any gameplays of this or any interest in checking out
New World at all? I have a lot of interest, Andrea, in this game. But as you know, that's very problematic.
Yeah, babies.
Babies, yeah. I'm looking on Twitch right now. And it looks like it has 462 viewers. People are playing the Shroud's playing it right now. I'm in a very vulnerable state right now where I really want an MMO because it just sounds good. Like that comfort gaming, you know, where you just sit down, you kill orcs or you kill like 10 sewer rats and then like you're the most, you know, like rewarded person in the world for it because you've killed rats. And it's like, oh, that feels good. That's a crack. It's like a crack feedback there. But I have to stay far away from this because hot damn, if I get addicted to an MMO right now, my child will not. He will, it won't be good for any parties involved. So as much as I'm really like itching to get into this, I can't. I gotta stay away. And it hurts.
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's one of those things that makes you kind of hurt inside as a new parent. And we know that there's a lot of you out there listening to the show that aren't new parents per se, but went through the new parent stage and can empathize with where we're at, that we really have to kind of make the hard choices about what we have time to play right now and what we don't. And an MMO is sadly just, you know, not in the cards probably, but it looks cool. I saw somebody, I think it was Jesse Cox, post a video of him like chopping down a tree, I think it was. Oh. Like, I look forward to doing this 1,000 times.
I do. You said chopping down a tree. I'm like, God, that sounds so therapeutic right now. You know, just like walking up to a pixelated tree and just swinging your axe and getting your wood and building something with it. God, that sounds great. Sounds like the kind of monotonous task I could lose myself in right now. I want to go chop down trees.
I mean, we all know about your hatred of trees, so this is not surprising. Not surprising that you want to chop them down.
That's a real reason I want to play New World, so I can desecrate its tree population and just say, like, fuck all y'all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for our updates in the news. As I mentioned, if we get anything earth-shattering out of TGS, we will cover it in next week's show. And now let's talk about some games that we've been playing. But before we get to that, we have a couple messages from our sponsors. This episode of What's Good Games is brought to you by Felix Gray. Let's talk about blue light glasses and the ones that started it all. 5 years ago, Felix Gray realized our eyes weren't meant to look at screens all day and designed glasses to make daily screen time more comfortable and the workday more productive. Now more than ever, Americans are spending more time on computers, phones, tablets, gaming devices, and so many other sources of blue light. But Felix Gray glasses aren't like other blue light glasses. They filter 15 times more blue light, which can make screen time tough on eyes and disruptive to sleep. I've talked to you guys before about how bad blue light is, and it comes from so many more sources than you maybe thought. Did you know that your Kindle can be giving you blue light? even your LED lights can be giving off blue light, and it can lead to a whole host of terrible symptoms like sore, tired, burning, itching, watery eyes, a sore neck, shoulder, and back, headaches, migraines, difficulty concentrating, inability to focus, not to mention poor sleep and fatigue. None of that sounds fun. So if you guys want to avoid all of those symptoms, then you have to go check out felixgrayglasses.com/games. They have non-prescription and prescription lenses available, and they're made from acetate and hand finished for a durable, lightweight, and really comfortable pair of glasses. So if you can feel your screen time, but you're not sure if blue light glasses are right for you, then you want to start with the best in blue light. Try Felix Gray. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, there's nothing to lose but eye strain. Get yourself a pair of glasses made for the 21st century and designed for modern, hardworking eyes. Kick your eye strain to the curb by going to felixgrayglasses.com/games for the best blue light glasses on the market. That's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y glasses.com/games.
This episode of What's Good Games is also brought to you by MeUndies. Are you afraid of glow in the dark? Well, shield your eyes because the new MeUndies Halloween just dropped. Dead. If there's one collection you don't want a ghost, it's this one. With 5 new prints to turn up the terror, you should summon them before it's too late. Whether you're outrunning a killer or being abducted by aliens this Halloween, be comforted by the fact that your undies are sustainable and the softest in town. MeUndies are made from natural fibers sourced from beechwood trees, making their micromodal fabric soft, breathable, and dangerously cozy. Get your spooky season up and haunting with 5 new prints. I See You, My Boo, Tricks and Treats, Lazy Bones, and Lazy Pumpkin. Available in undies, bralettes, socks, and loungewear in sizes extra small through 4XL, there are a lot of options to consider. But make a decision quickly because there's somebody right behind you. God, I had too much fun reading that. So I have recently gotten my husband on the MeUndies train. He, like a lot of folks, and sometimes, he hasn't updated his boxer collection in a very long time. And I'm like, bro, I love you, but like the waistbands are falling off. And like, what the hell are you doing? And so I was like, trust me, you have to get these MeUndies. And now he is addicted and he has 2 new pairs coming in every month. And he's not like a flashy dude, but he gets such a kick out of picking out like fun new materials. He got one with sharks on them recently, one with like travel signs on them. So he's having a great time, and I'm sure his tushy is too. So MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has a promise. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, you can return your order for a full refund within 45 days. To get 15% off of your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/WGG. That's MeUndies.com/WGG.
All right, Brittany.
Yes, my dear.
Let's talk about Diablo 2 Resurrected. I saw over on your Blonder channel you did an unboxing.
I did, yeah, the fine folks at Diablo, and you got one too. They sent over some really fun little care packages that featured this Diablo hot sauce for one. It's actually an extract is what they call it, because it's the kind.
Have you tried it yet?
Hell no. Have you tried yours?
Do you want to try it?
I do, yeah. Someday.
We could try it together.
Like right now?
Yeah, like right now.
Okay. I'm a little scared to do it. And then we can talk about Diablo after we take the hit. Okay. That sounds kind of fun. I can get behind
that. Let me grab it. All right. So everybody who is listening and not watching at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, Brittany and I were gifted hot sauce from Blizzard for the Diablo 2 Resurrected launch. It's called Portal to Hell Hot Sauce. On the front, it says, use extreme caution. The ingredients are aged red peppers, vinegar, chili, chili extract, should I say salt, and xanthan gum. So it says, warning, hot pepper extracts are meant to do nothing but add an immense amount of pain to your life. Yep. These are not hot sauces. They are food additives and are not meant to be used in large quantities. Take caution when adding to food. It is very easy to make something far too hot with these products. So it's interesting that they say that, but it literally says hot sauce.
I know.
On the front. And then over on the side where it says extremely hot.
Use one drop at a time.
One drop at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if it said hot, like hot extract or hot, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? But hot sauce speaks to me, but you can really fuck yourselves up. I saw photos of people who were eating this and they globbed it all over because they didn't read. They didn't read. All right.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So I brought a glass of milk.
Oh, so you're fucking smart.
Just in case.
I got nothing.
Listen, I am a survivor of hot pepper gaming.
Oh, I know.
But I brought a spoon. How are you planning to taste it?
I was just going to dab it on my finger and just have my finger in my mouth. Maybe I'll do it on the finger because my nail finally broke off.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, just be sure not to touch your face or anything with that finger then.
Oh, you know what? Thanks, Andrea. I probably wouldn't. I'm doing that. All right.
You sure you don't want to go get a spoon or something?
No, you know what? I'm gonna figure this out. I'm going to put it like...
I'm going to make you go wash your hands immediately afterwards because I don't want you touching your baby with that hand either.
God damn it.
That sounds like a terrible night for both of you.
All right. You know what? You're right. God damn it. Stop your fucking logic bombing me. I'll be right back.
Go get a spoon. Yeah.
I actually had a fork right outside my office for undisclosed reasons. So that works out.
Amazing.
Okay.
Okay, so it says one drop at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pour just a tiny, tiny bit. Just like a little...
A little glob.
A little glob to start.
Oh, that's too much of a
and
glob.
And see how this goes.
Okay. I'm just going to like... Yeah, okay. Are you ready to die?
This can't possibly be that bad.
I know, but I'm nervous. Okay.
I've eaten like a raw habanero. I'm prepared.
All right.
We can do this.
Cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
That's coming fast and furious. God. Whoa.
I'm spitting it out. Oh, no. Oh, no.
The tingle is strong.
The tingle is good.
The tingle is strong.
I just swallowed.
My lips, the burning has begun. I can feel it all over the roof. Okay, my eyes are watering.
I'm swallowing.
I can feel it over.
I'm literally spitting into my Spectra bottle, Andrea.
Oh my God. That's some desperation. You're going to have to clean that thing really thoroughly. Okay, so now the heat is hitting the back of my mouth. I don't know why people make...
Why? What is the
literally
point?
Crying.
What is the point
I don't know
this?
Why people make things like this. My tongue is on fire.
Yeah, am I dying? I could be. Who could say?
I'm trying to embrace the heat, but like, I think I'm going to drink a little milk. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Why?
Okay.
How is this an enjoyable thing for people?
I'm not going to set that where people can see it. Oh, God. Oh.
If you need to go get some kind of dairy product, yeah. I don't blame you.
Uh-huh. Hold on. Let's see if my husband's capable.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so.
Hold on.
When they say aged red peppers.
Can I have a glass of milk?
Are you okay?
I've had hot sauce. Help.
Okay, just a minute.
I feel like I can feel it in my teeth.
It's in my mouth and all over my body. Oh my God.
It's now going down my throat? The burning sensation?
It's all in my mouth.
Oh.
Okay. Diablo.
The milk provides respite for mere seconds.
I'll take it.
It's like a second or 2 seconds of respite and then the burning is back.
Okay. So.
And we're talking the drop. I put on this spoon for everybody listening is probably like barely pea sized.
Yeah.
Like barely pea sized. Ugh.
Oh,
no. It's like smoky heat too.
Ugh. Okay. So, God. Oh. Oh, God. There's just drool everywhere. Is it mine or my kids?
And you and I are fans of hot things. And this is just hot to be asshole hot.
This is just meant to, bring immense amount of pain to your lives.
But why? Why do people want that?
Okay.
It still hurts.
It hurts. It hurts like a bitch. I feel like I've been punched in the face. Hi.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I spit in this. This needs to be thoroughly washed.
What? Oh, my God. Where's the hot sauce?
Brittany's husband has brought her a glass of milk. What? How much did you have? Is he aware that you tasted this?
Oh, yeah. Like a pea size.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm. No shit, it's too much. All right. Thanks, babe. Love you. Appreciate you. Okay. Are we ready to?
Yeah, so when they say one drop at a time, I'm guessing it's like one drop that you mix into like a bowl of soup or something?
No, not us. We just take it straight.
Wait, so people actually like shook this like it was like Frank's Red Hot on shit?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, shall we get this going?
Yep. All right. Let's do this.
So
here we go.
So again, this was sent by folks at Blizzard and Diablo. Thank you very much for this review copy. This game came out September 23rd for Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch for $39.99. It is a remaster, which means it has updated graphics and re-rendering of cutscenes. It looks really pretty, the cutscenes too. The game looks like a remastered game from 2000 because that's what it is. It features cross progression. And it features online play, which is really fun, but only if you're in the same family of consoles. Okay, cool. Got all that out of the way. I'm having a really good time playing this. It very much feels and still kind of looks like a game from 2000, but it has that Diablo charm about it that you love so much, that I love so much. I've never played Diablo 2 before. Only played Diablo 3 and a little bit of Diablo 1 on PlayStation. It has all of the amazing loot. It has the dungeon crawling. It has the skeletons and the enemies. It has the towns. And I'm just having a really great time with it.
The burning. The burning is, like, ever-present. Unabating.
Oh, yeah. And when you don't have this milk in your mouth, it just slowly, like, it's like a rage meter. And, like, it starts overflowing. And I just want to rage right now. But a pro tip, when you're starting this game, you have two options, to create an online character and an offline character. If you create an offline character, that character can never be played online with other people, which is kind of like, heart palpitations. It's kind of like a what the fuck barbecue. So you want to make sure you create an online character so you can play online and participate in ladders. Why is my eye burning? I didn't get it near my eye. Or did I? No, I didn't. Okay, thank God. It's like burning right here.
I'm like,
here.
I hope you didn't. I thought we talked very specifically about why you shouldn't put this on your finger and you used a utensil.
You saved me from myself and I love you forever for that. I'll always owe you one for that. And when you do start, you have 7 different classes you can choose from. Let's see, you got Amazon, Necromancer, Barbarian, Sorceress, Paladin, Druid, and Assassin. Fortunately, you can't customize the way these characters look. So I am this big, beefy, like, bald man because I'm a Barbarian, and Jason is like this dainty little Sorceress, and that's kind of like our usual dynamic. So it's fun that way. But I'm only in the middle of Act 1, and I think there's 5 acts. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to knowing Diablo is like Diablo. I think there's a lot of games that try to replicate, to an extent, what Diablo does. Understandably, why wouldn't you? It's a very, very successful franchise, and they do what they do very well. But even though this game is from 2000, and they haven't really changed a lot about it mechanically, it still is just a fucking blast to play, and I'm having a ton of fun. It's the game Jason and I play together when the kid's asleep, and we get, like, a couple hours to ourselves. And, you know, like I said earlier, it has all the things you would want, and I think it's a good holdover until whenever the next Diablo comes out in, like, 20 years. The voice acting is
fun. What platform are you guys playing on?
I'm playing on Xbox. I had to think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're playing on Xbox. And, I mean, the up-res graphics look fine. They look good. But again, it comes down to the gameplay, and the gameplay is solid. And just having a real, really, really good time, having a blast playing, because I've been craving a Diablo game for a hot minute. Because the last one came out in 2013 for consoles. And then we had the Reaper of Souls, which then I think brought it to like PS4 and Xbox One. And then I replayed it there. I think that's what it was. Anyway, if you're looking for a fun game to play right now, like, that has that Diablo flair to it, because it is Diablo, definitely check it out. Definitely give it a play. Highly recommend it. And I was going to say something else, but the burning has moved into the back of my throat. So I'm going to take another sip of milk.
You should drink some milk. So I have this special press edition swag box that you got as well. I did an unboxing on my TikTok at Andrea Renee. If you guys want to follow me on TikTok, I post a whole bunch of random shit there. And I'm going to be doing a giveaway of my box. So I've opened the hot sauce. I'm happy to include the opened hot sauce, and I will package it so it doesn't spill if the winner so chooses, but everything else will come included. That, however, does not include a copy of the game. So make sure you follow me on Twitter, and I will be giving that away in the next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And I haven't started my playthrough yet because I'm kind of struggling with where to, which platform to start on. But thankfully, there is cross progression, which is amazing. It is 2021, so it's good that we have that. But I'm thinking of playing this on my Switch because I played all of the Eternal Collection of Diablo 3 on my Switch and really had a good time with that. And the portable nature of the Switch makes it so that I could probably pick this up whenever I want to and not have to be kind of tied to my console. Yeah. But I actually never really played a lot of Diablo 2 back when it originally came out. So that's why I was really excited that they were remastering this. But I think, like a lot of people, I'm more interested in Diablo 4 than I am in Diablo 2 Resurrected. And I think that it's great that they did it and it will tide people over because it sounds like we're probably not going to be going to Diablo 4 for a while.
So sad. But yeah, I think you're totally right. And so, yeah, like I said, it scratches that itch. It's just a really good time. And that's all I have to say about that at this very moment in my life because of their hot sauce that they sent me.
Woo! Yes, hot sauce. So I have been playing a couple different things. As I had mentioned on the show previously, I was playing Life is Strange True Colors, and I finished that game, and I would love to do a spoiler cast at some point once you get a chance to play it in the future, because they released all of it at once, which is great. So before, you know, we kind of had to wait for chapters to come out, and now all of the chapters are in one game. So just some thoughts, some spoiler-free thoughts, of course. The game looks beautiful, by far the best animation of all of the Life is Strange games. This one was made by Deck Nine. Don't Nod, of course, is the creator of the Life is Strange franchise, but Deck Nine did Life is Strange Before the Storm, which I really liked and thought they did a really great job with. So the lead character of this game is called... sorry for stumbling. There's just Alex. Music playing in my recording.
Oh, great.
There's just something in my ear. My apologies, everybody. So the lead character is a girl named Alex Chen, and you kind of learn about her backstory, kind of bouncing around the foster home, and she moves to this town of Haven to meet up with her brother Gabe, and the story kind of picks up from there. So much like a lot of Life is Strange games, you're going to get the walking simulator aspect where you kind of just explore your environment, you pick up objects, they get some contextual clues for things that are happening to things that were in the past, and it's a really relaxing game, which is why I was drawn to it. And the Life is Strange games are known for kind of hitting hot button topics or doing unique narrative twists, and I really enjoy that about this franchise and think that they've done it really well. This time around, they definitely have a little bit of that, but there was never a big, like, aha, twisty moment that I was expecting from this franchise. There was definitely some things that happened that were shocking, but I think of Life is Strange as a franchise, game that makes you make hard decisions all the time. I think of Life is Strange 2 and all of the decisions I had to make across those episodes with the two brothers and how I felt continually stressed out each episode. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to make this choice. I can't believe they're doing this. What happened to that character? And there was a lot of those moments in previous Life is Strange that I didn't feel like I got this time. I kept waiting for like the next big thing to happen. And maybe I'm just to the point where my expectations were mismanaged, because I'm sure there's other people out there that are like, but wait, there were big narrative moments that happened. And obviously I'm not going to talk about what those narrative moments are. And there are, you know, some twists, but I think I was just like wanting something a little bit more jarring. It felt like the big narrative decisions that I made in the game didn't feel as impactful this time around, which was a little bit of a bummer.
So Alex's life was a little too normal for your taste. You wanted her to have some fucked up shit.
I mean, don't get me wrong. She's got some fucked up shit for sure. But her power is different. So it's she's an empath.
Okay.
So, and she's, you know, can feel people's feelings and can take people's emotions from them. And she can essentially like read people's minds through their emotions, which I thought was really interesting. But it's a less practical mechanic than, say, Max's rewind power was, or Daniel's levitation or telekinesis that he had.
So I wonder
which were a little bit more like physical based.
Yeah. So I wonder if that kind of lend itself to this kind of like not as crazy rocky story or narrative. Because I mean, that's a kind of like a day to day for some people, right? To be an empath, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I think that they touched on some really important themes about relationships between children and their parents, about relationships between, you know, friendships that you make and moving to a new place. And obviously they talk about the foster care system and, you know, a couple other topics that I'll kind of leave out to make sure that they're not considered spoilery. But I think that overall it wasn't as impactful as games that I've seen previously in that franchise. Didn't mean I didn't enjoy my time, and they have a DLC pack, Steph's story. Steph is one of the characters you meet in Haven that I'm interested in. But, you know, I'm not sure where they go from here, like what the next step in the Life is Strange universe is going to look like, if it's going to be like a whole new story, if they're going to try to continue what they started with True Colors and some of the characters here and have a spinoff, or kind of if they're going to circle back to some of the characters we've seen previously in the Life is Strange universe. But
so I know the other games always ended on a cliffhanger. They kind of had to, right? Because they were episodic, and they had to keep you hooked. Like, okay, can't wait to play the next episode in like 2 months from now. Do you think that could have had anything to do with it, since they didn't feel compelled to like leave people on a cliffhanger all the time?
Potentially, it might have. I mean, you're left with a big choice at the end of the game, like you are in a lot of Life is Strange. And this one has a pretty big life choice that you have to make. Like the fork is pretty crazy. Like it makes me want to go back and choose the other ending to kind of see what happens. But I also could just
YouTube,
watch the videos online instead of replaying the game again. But the game is really beautiful. And there's some great music. And there's a moment in the third episode where they do a LARP, a live action role playing game. And they do it in such an amazing way. And they bring in this really fun turn-based RPG combat mechanic. And I just love the way they represented a LARP on screen, because I think my perception of what LARPing is was very different from the way that they represented it in the game. And I love that it changed my mind about what a LARP can be, because I think a lot of people out there have a very specific notion of what LARPing is, if they even know what it is to begin with.
I think of people in the field dressed up in like armor waving sticks at each other. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's not what this was. This was very much more a fantasy adventure base, where they took over different parts of this small town and a bunch of townspeople were in on it, and they go into different businesses that they had like kind of themed over as stops along the way in this little fantasy world. And the characters like picked up like paper scrolls in the world that like changed their powers and abilities and gave them specials and things like that. And I was like, I've never seen a LARP done that way, and it makes me want to play a LARP, that LARP specifically.
Oh.
Like, I would play that. That seems
fun.
Cool. Yeah, so if nothing else, the game is worth playing just to see the way that they do this LARP. I really enjoyed it. I thought they did it really well. But I also have been playing a game on my phone, because I was like, you know what? I need a mobile game that I can play while I'm pumping or feeding the baby or trapped in this chair, instead of just watching TikTok all day, which I'm doing a lot of, let me tell you. So I tweeted the other day about a game coming to Steam called Hometopia. So it's in Steam Fest days, Steam Next Fest days. I don't remember exactly what it's called. And it's a game all about flipping houses and renovating houses. And I was like,
oh my
this
God.
Sounds like it's right up my alley. And then I posted the trailer, and all of these people came to my mentions with, Andrea, how have you not tried House Flipper? So I was like, well, I don't know how I haven't tried this. So I downloaded it on my phone. And it's clear that this game is definitely better on a console or on Steam because it uses the virtual joystick. Oh. So you have to hold your phone horizontally. And then you have your left thumb in the bottom corner with the virtual joystick on the glass. And then you move by using your right thumb. And I just don't like that mechanic in mobile games. It just feels not intuitive. If I'm playing a mobile game, I really just want to play it with a single thumb. Mm-hmm. I want to hold my phone in one hand and play with my thumb. That's what I want. And I don't feel like that's, unrealistic. I could even hold my phone in one hand and play with my pointer finger on my other hand and play that way. But when I have to dual wield on my phone, it's just not the experience I'm looking for in a mobile game. So that kind of turned me off. But I stopped playing kind of right away because they made me do a lot of house cleaning to earn money to buy my first flip.
What?
And they're like, go into this room and scrub the floors and clean up the trash. And I'm like, excuse me, do you know how much cleaning I'm doing at my house every day? How many times I do the dishes? How many times I do the laundry? You think I want to play a video game where I have to mop somebody's fucking floor? Get out of here.
That's fucked up. I gotta say, that is a pretty fucked up idea. Huh.
Oh, and I know it's just like the intro to the game that they're like, you have to do these jobs to make money and then you'll have money to buy your first flip. And it kind of is like tutorializing it a bit, but I just was like, no,
ways around that. Like, maybe you got an inheritance, or maybe it's like the whole Harvest Moon shit where you inherit a farm, and then you go on to bad stuff. You need the Sims God codes, I feel like, for that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Yeah. I mean, because I think I forget that The Sims has this very robust house building mechanic in it and decorating mechanic in it. But it requires lots and lots of in-game currency.
Yeah.
Which, takes years to build up, or, as you mentioned, a lot of real world dollars.
Yeah. Well.
So we'll see. I'm still planning to try Hometopia, this other game that I tweeted about, and I'll let you guys know. Maybe I'll do a stream of it. It could be fun.
Does HGTV have their own game?
So they don't, but they have an expansion pack in House Flipper.
Oh.
They have their own themed expansion pack.
I love this for you. I feel like this is the perfect
game. I know. I want it to be good for me too. I just don't want to take out someone else's trash.
I just get this image in my head. It's like 4 a.m. and you're feeding Charlie your Pumpy and you're fucking mopping the floor in your phone.
Yes.
Oh no.
I'm like, why am I doing this?
Well, I hope your home renovation dreams come true in another way, Andrea. I hope Hometopia.
Thank you.
Godspeed. Because once you find a game that clicks with you, that's it. We're never going to see her again, friends. Because that's her thing.
That's true.
That's her thing. In another world, she was a home designer or a flipper. What were you in another world when it comes to HGTV, shticks?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I feel like I should be prepared to answer this. Probably an interior decorator.
Okay.
Because the construction aspect of flipping, I'm not so good at. I can do things like painting and some fun upcycling projects. But when it comes to installing pipes or drywall or tile, things that are guild or skill based trades, not for me. Never got proper training.
Got it. Well, there you go.
I did Habitat for Humanity once, though.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
See,
it was fun. I installed baseboards.
Wow, girl!
I got to use a nail gun.
Oh shit! That's a level 1 weapon.
Yes, it is. Brittany, you've been spending some more time in Lost Judgment.
Oh yeah. I just can't get enough. I can't get enough, Andrea. I put another 20 or so hours in since I talked to y'all last. Y'all, Steimer, my third Steimer reference of the episode. I can't help it. And I'm just, again, like, I've made progress maybe in one or two chapters. I think I'm two chapters away from finishing the game, but I'm just milking it. I'm having just a blast doing all the side stuff, doing all the school activities. There's, again, the motorcycle club. There's the dance club. There's skateboarding. There's a casino. I just redeemed DLC, so now I have three new girlfriends that I can try to woo over. What happened, Andrea, is I got myself in a little bit of a pickle. So I think the game comes with just, like, one girlfriend. You just get one, and it consists of you doing some mini games with her, and you build up her affection level, and then eventually there's a confession that comes. And so she called me, right? And she's like, hey, I got something good coming your way. Come meet me at the park. I was like, okay. And then Yagami said, oh, I wonder if this is a confession. And I was like, shit, I am not ready to commit. So I went to, you know, the Microsoft store, as you do, and you download three new girlfriends for your life. And now I'm going to decide which girlfriend I want. So that's, like, my new thing in Lost Judgment right now, is which girlfriend am I going to woo? Which one am I going to bang? I don't know if there's banging in this game, honestly. So I'm just doing a lot of, like, side stuff. And I'm just having, again, like, just a really good time. It's very cathartic and just to go around and do all, like, there's so much content in this game, and there's so many things, from eating all the food at a restaurant, and there's tons of restaurants in this game, to doing all of the mini games, playing the arcade cabinets, taking the dog for a walk for a certain amount of feet or kilometers or miles or whatever metric they use. And it's just perfect to turn on and then just for 45 minutes, just, like, play. And you can do anything. It's almost like a sim in some senses, because there's just that much content to do. But I need to wrap it up sooner rather than later, because I'm worried about spoilers since the game is now out. And I know some folks have already been, like, jonesing to chat with me about what happened. And I have to tell them, if you spoil this game for me, I will rip your head out of your body. I won't do that. That sounded very violent.
That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, that was the hot sauce talking. Sorry. It made me a little grumpy. But yeah, I'm an absolute blast. It is such a good game, and that studio is just so talented. And I'm excited for the day when everyone knows RGG Studio and they associate it with the quality. Because I know it's, like, not everyone's into the Yakuza games. Not everyone's into Lost Judgment, like, and Judgment in particular. I get they're not for everyone. But the amount of quality that each one of their games consists of is just, you don't see it a lot. And I know it's more of a niche genre, niche games right now. But hopefully, the more they release these titles, and they did a simultaneous release, worldwide release for Lost Judgment, which was a first for the studio, and now all the Yakuza games are in Game Pass. I'm hoping that's all really going to help propel them forward and just kind of get their names in front of more people. But off my soapbox, I'm having a really good time.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. And clearly it got Steimer to play, right? Like, she hadn't spent that much time with the Yakuza games, and it being in Game Pass helped her, and it's certainly something I've been intrigued by, but again, where's the time?
I mean, that's the thing, is, like, I've already put 50 hours into this game. I probably could put another 20 to 30 in easily. And so what's good about it is I don't have to worry about playing anything else, really, for the time being, because I'm content.
That's true. Well, next week, you know what's coming out?
What?
Far Cry 6, Far Cry 6.
Oh, fuck, you're right.
Out. Well, yep. Guess you got to wrap Lost Judgment up this weekend.
Yeah, right.
All right, everybody. That is going to do it for this episode of What's Good Games. If you are listening to this and you are a patron at patreon.com/whatsgoodgames and you missed our live streams for the month of September, which happened yesterday, then you can watch the archives by checking out the post at patreon.com/whatsgoodgames. And we want to thank everybody for participating in our Patreon. We changed our tiers recently, so if you guys want to learn about our new membership options and ways that you can support our voices in the video game community, one more time with feeling, patreon.com/whatsgoodgames. Until then, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.